It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hey, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me as 96% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
Elliot Serrano's here again.
I'm providing that other 4%.
Yeah, somebody's got to.
That's right. Your percentage keeps dropping every time I'm here.
Well, it goes down and then it comes up. 96 is pretty high for me.
Oh, okay.
It's like, that's like.
Well, usually the Skype calls knock him down because I always say, like, you can't have a guy over your shoulder on Skype.
Yeah. I can't just be like a disembodied head in the background being like, yeah.
Yeah.
Skype doesn't count?
No, Skype counts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd feel like, who's Conan's, like, side guy that just, like.
Andy Richter?
I'd feel like Andy Richter. I just sit on the couch and, like, haha, funny joke.
Well,
wait, they're funny jokes? What?
Yeah, occasionally.
That's debatable. But we are all here. Elliot posted this morning that he saw Logan last night. Steven and I saw Logan Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And with our tradition, we have not spoken about it. We left the movie, talked about other things.
And we have a new unofficial rule that, like, we kind of...
Your dad has to come?
No, but my dad, he heard half
Steven's
of the movie and loved the other half.
He's great.
He's great. But the new rule is, like, we fucked up on Star Trek 2, where we were like, we saw it and then immediately did a podcast, and we were like, it was the best, we loved it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
we were
Star
idiots.
Trek Into Darkness.
So now we have to let it sit for a couple days.
We thought it was good for that first day.
I think we did the podcast, like, we walked out of the theater, we went to, like, a Smashburger and did the podcast.
Yes, like we did on a phone. It was a terrible idea.
Yeah, so now we have to give it a couple days to marinate to make sure it's whether or not we liked it.
I couldn't stand Into Darkness. Walking out of the theater, I hated it.
I enjoyed it in the theater, and then I watching the Blu-ray, I was like, what was I? I did that, too, with Die Another Day, the last Pierce Brosnan. Oh. I thought it was good in the theater because,
hey, hang on a second.
Like, I just wanted the franchise so much. I'm like, here it is, and I wasn't judging it.
Maybe they hit like a couple notes, and you're just like, yeah, it's just like that. Is that the movie where he drove a sports car around Antarctica?
Yeah, it's all ice.
Yeah, it was awful.
Madonna's in it. Remember doing her really bad accent?
Yeah. Madonna's in it.
Wait, Madonna was a Bond girl?
No, she was just
she sang the song in that one, and then she showed up.
She was like Adele.
But the Bond girl in that is in everything now, because she was in The World's End, the English blonde woman.
Emma Watson?
No.
Emma Watson as a Bond girl? I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
Could still happen.
I'd be all over Emma Watson, just, you know, as long as it was consensual.
The next Bond is going to have to be Emma Watson's age. Because you know what? Say Idris Elba as much as you want, but you've been saying that for 5 years.
He's a little long in the tooth right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always remember I was on Jimmy Pardo's podcast. John Hamm was on there before they cast Superman for Man of Steel.
Henry Cavill,
yeah. And Jimmy Pardo's like, he was like, come on, you're going to be Superman, right? He's like, look, the only thing I could tell you is, I auditioned for Superman Returns, and they said I was too old, and that was 5 years ago.
Yeah. And, I never really watched Mad Men, but John Hamm would be, I think, a really good Superman. One of the comic book artists did a drawing of him as Superman in, like, the Christopher Reeve costume, and it looked great. I think it was Phil Noto maybe did it. He's got, like, an awesome blog. But, yeah, John Hamm, it's like he's got that look, you know? It's like that's why he was cast as a guy from the 1950s, because he looks like a 1950s, like, American. It's like this thing, like,
that's
Steve Bannon jerks off to. You know what I'm saying? It's like that 1950s, like, bullshit.
Oh, man.
That's also why they paired him with January Jones, who looks exactly like a Barbie doll.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks, Stephen, for giving me that freaking image.
And it's so early in the morning,
really,
too.
It really is.
I'm sorry, before we move on, John Hamm would be an excellent Captain Marvel. Even at his age now.
Yeah, he Carol would Danvers? Be. No, nah. Shazam.
Shazam, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even at his age. Yeah, because John Hamm is now the age where superheroes start talking about not doing superheroes anymore, which is probably the best segue into Logan, which is Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine, as far as we know now. And he plays older. he plays about as old as he can get with this character.
Do you think they made him look older in this movie? Like, do you think they did him up a bit? Or do you think he's just... Because he looked pretty tired.
X-Men Apocalypse was... Yeah, but X-Men Apocalypse was last year. And he had that whole Weapon X scene in it.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't age that much in 1 year.
Right.
Especially, you know, he's got money. He's doing well. But he's not under that much stress.
No, right, right. But I'm saying, like, I thought when he did a Weapon X in Apocalypse, they, like, did that... cinema bullshit where they de-age everybody now. It's like the thing to do in every movie. They did it in Civil War. They're like, look, Tony Stark's so young. Look, Wolverine's so young. I think they did like that.
I don't know. I mean, Days of Future Past is only a couple of years ago, and he's all over that.
Yeah. There's a spoiler. This is going to be spoilery. He fights a young Wolverine in this movie.
Right. He fights a Wolverine clone.
Yeah. They de-age him. You didn't like the Wolverine clone, Elliot? X-24.
All right. Let's talk about the movie itself before we get into the details.
Yeah. Like before the meat and potatoes.
Elliot.
Yes.
What'd you think?
It was a very well-crafted Western. I went to go see it with Patty Vasquez. And afterwards, we had this long discussion about John Wayne Westerns, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about, it was like you were saying, it was the last Wolverine story. It's the old gunslinger, kind of just like doing his thing, trying to make a life, trying to put his killing ways behind him. As I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking, oh, that's Unforgiven. Okay, yeah, that's The Shootist. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. They're literally throwing Shane in there. I mean, there's Shane. They're pulling a scene from Shane and they're putting it in the movie.
Yeah.
And
I agree, but I thought it also, and I read reviews of that this is a Western. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of Old Man Logan, the comic, which they could never adapt because he's teamed up with Hawkeye and fighting Hulks and Venoms.
Yeah.
So there's so many contracts for that. But that's kind of a Western. But I also thought it felt very much like a 70s film. There was a lot of the Omega Man in this.
Omega Man, yeah.
There was a lot of that kind of dystopian sci-fi that you find in the 70s, not afraid of a sad ending, that kind of downtrodden and protecting innocence but not making them precious.
Well, that was my one issue with the movie. And again, I mean, I'm not it's obviously... Everyone's loving this film, and I don't want to be that guy,
yeah.
You know, because I even told myself, I'm going to go see this movie, and I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. I'm not going to be that guy, because I've been that guy about Rogue One, like, since it came out. So I walked out going, oh, for Christ's sakes, can I have an uplifting ending for once in a movie? It's just been, after Rogue One, I'm like, this is depressing.
Yeah, everyone gets killed in Rogue One, and then in this one. It was a very sad movie. Yeah,
Doctor Strange came out around the same time as Rogue One. That's not that long ago.
And Lego Batman, you know.
Batman was nothing but happy. happy beginnings, happy middles, happy endings.
It was
happy
a Lego ending. Movie. That's what they do.
Yeah. So, but still, the movie itself, it was kind of the old, it ended the only way it could end. You can't give Wolverine a happy ending. Although, I will not say I wasn't as bummed about Wolverine as I was bummed about what happens to Charles Xavier.
I was going
to
say Professor X was the thing that hit me the hardest. And spoilers again, he gets like murdered pretty viciously in this movie. And I guess I just wasn't like ready for it. Like I was kind of like, I just thought he'd live to the end. You know what I mean? I didn't think I figured they were going to kill Wolverine because they were like, it's the last one. It's Old Man Logan. Like, what else would they do? I just thought like, oh, they're not going to kill like Professor X. Like, even though he said it was his last one, it's just like it completely caught me off guard.
Yeah. Well, also Patrick Stewart has said it's his last one about three times.
But didn't he come out just like a week ago when he's just like, I might do another one?
Did he?
I think he did.
Well, the fact that they're jumping around the timeline anytime McAvoy doesn't want to do it.
Exactly.
He
yeah.
He can just step in. I wasn't so much upset about him dying. When Charles Xavier died, I was like, okay, they're taking all the pieces off the table. I was upset the fact that how they mentally disabled him. How they made him senile and not in control of powers.
Yeah.
And they intimate pretty strongly that he killed all of the other X-Men.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were going for, was they and that was one of the frustrations I had about this movie, but I kind of get why they do it. Is they don't really tell you what happened to the X-Men, and they don't really tell you what happened to all the mutants or what the, like, society really looks like now. You only get, like, little snippets of, like, the broader context of society, but it basically just seemed like the dystopian, like, I mean, they were, like, border walls and shit, you know what I mean? It's like, it hit a little close to home as far as, like, what they were pointing at, and I just wonder, because obviously this movie was getting filmed, like, months and months and months ago, if not over a year ago, how much of that was influential, like, the real world nonsense that we're dealing with got seeped into this movie, you know, with these like border walls and the, you know, they were like, mutants aren't a problem anymore. It's like, why aren't they a problem? Did somebody hunt them all to extinction? It's like, it's and it's just fucked up because
remember the current events about the border walls and the Muslim ban,
right?
Was the beginning of the campaign, so that's been in the public
for over a year. Yeah, so maybe. But yeah, it was just, I mean, you expect a movie called Old Man Logan. We've all read that book. It's a very dark book. I didn't think they were going to go like that dark and be like, yeah, Xavier, he had a seizure and he murdered all the X-Men with his mind.
Yeah.
And they said his mind is classified as a weapon of mass destruction. And it's just like, I don't think he just killed everyone at that school. I think he killed everyone in Westchester County. I think like he probably killed thousands.
He says, I remember what happened in Westchester.
Yeah.
Not the school.
Right.
Yeah. And when it goes off in Vegas, it's at least the entire casino.
Right.
If not all of Vegas.
Yeah. It's, it
was
interesting. Crazy.
I was reading an interview with James Mangold and they asked him about like where this fits in with the timeline. He said, I don't care. Cause you know, the X-Men timeline is screwed. Yeah. Up.
At this point, Nick, one of our guys, posted a video online. Marvel did, I don't know if it was officially Marvel, but somebody put together like a tribute video for Hugh Jackman from like 2000 to 2017 of all his like scenes in Wolverine. So it's all like the major scenes of him running around with like voiceovers from like Xavier talking about him talking and all these different things. It's really kind of cool like tribute because this guy's been Wolverine for almost 2 decades.
Years,
yeah, it's been a long time.
I mean, he's made, this is what, the eighth? His eighth appearance as Wolverine.
Oh, really? Including like cameos and stuff?
Well, yeah. There's the three X-Men. There's the three Wolverines. There's Days of Future Past. There's Apocalypse. And if you want to count the 22nd cameo he has in First Class,
yeah,
that's nine.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been doing it for a while. It's kind of like when you think about it, Robert Downey Jr., same thing. The guy's been playing Iron Man for
he's getting up
a
there.
Long time.
But we've never had a James Bond that made this many. Films.
Right. And I think he does maybe hold the record. I mean, there's no Batman that's been Batman this long. There's no character in the comic
book. There's
no
Batman that's made more than three films.
Right.
I mean, even Adam West, that series was 3 years.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think this guy like kind of hit a milestone.
Yeah, we treat Batmans like we treat doctors.
Right.
But yeah, it is a huge achievement. The weird thing I noticed about those, I've seen those memes of him going from film to film. That guy jacked his body all different ways.
Yeah.
He's like, he has a different body type in every movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he must go to his personal trainer at the start of his movie. He's like, what am I going to look like this year?
Yeah. And it can't be good for him either. You know what I mean? Like, physically.
Well, he wants to quit.
Yeah. And I don't blame him. And it's like, even watching him like run around in the forest, it's just like, he looked old. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a difficult movie to watch for Xavier's like mental fatigue and like Logan's like physical fatigue. It's just like, it's just it's a horrifying look at mortality, kind of.
Yeah, again, that the Unforgiven analogy is really, really close.
I will say, and then to switch gears, when you talk about the next characters, when they were introducing X-23.
Yeah.
And my again, spoiler territory, if I have an issue with how she's handled, is why did we have to wait so freaking long to hear her talk? Because the moment she actually starts to talk, that's when that character really came alive for me. And they're going, you know, the whole bit, you know, wait, I thought you were mute. You know, why didn't you start talking 2,000 fucking miles ago?
Something, yeah.
Which was a great line.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was that bit where they're just having that back and forth in the
Jeep or whatever. Yeah.
And going, I mean, why didn't I get this a little sooner? Because at that point, I really needed some sort of something to lift me up.
Yeah. You know?
See, I was okay with it because the fact that there was that tension that was released when she talked, and you have Logan and Charles talking the whole time. So you have them, and up until that moment, she's the MacGuffin.
Right.
She's not really a character. We have to protect her. We have to get her to this place. I did love that he found out it was fake early on, but then it turned out it didn't matter because they made it real. I love that it wasn't like they got all the way to North Dakota, he realized it was fake, and oh, it's over this ridge, which a lot of movies would have done.
That's what I was kind of expecting. The end of the movie did catch me off guard. Because I think I was expecting, I knew Wolverine was going to get killed. Like, I kind of assumed that was coming. But I just thought they would do that Hollywood bullshit of like they walk off into the sunset and you see like the drawing from the comic book and it's real and it's like this place and, you know,
Children of Men ending. I kept waiting for the Children of Men ending.
Oh, I never saw that. That was similar.
Same ending.
Yeah.
Going to a place that you're not sure exists. And then you don't find out it's actually real until you get there.
Yeah, I mean, I was basically just happy that they didn't just pull a fucking U-turn and turn back and be like, it's not real. Let's go back. Like fucking Mad Max.
And that was God. Still can't get
Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie.
It was a Wizard of Oz, but it wasn't not the thing we look for us inside.
Right, yeah. But
the place we left behind. So everything we went to the whole time is pretty much irrelevant because we never should have left in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark would have ended the same if Indiana Jones had done nothing.
Yeah.
Still a perfect movie.
Yep.
But it was good. I actually really did like it. I think it was my favorite Wolverine movie because, I mean, that's not saying much because the first one is laughable. It's like you watch it to hate it.
The first one is the worst X-Men movie I think that's ever been made. It was on FX and I saw like 2 minutes of it. I'm like, this is garbage.
It's really bad.
And then I watched The Wolverine this week, which you and I disagreed on when it came out. I think the ending ruins it.
Yeah, it's the number one killer for me for movies is producer idiots putting their hands in the pie. And it's just like, Wolverine could have just fought 100 ninjas and that would have been a great ending. But they're like, nah, have him fight a baby Iron Man. It's like, why?
Right, and Mangold said in the same interview, he apologized for that movie. He's like, that's what we wanted. We wanted Wolverine to fight 100 ninjas.
And then what happened, John?
The studio.
The fucking said, studio.
So, but the upside is, when they made this one, they were like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're not, there are other mutants in this, but we're not throwing in like a million mutants. Like, this is a fairly small film. It probably cost what Deadpool cost.
Yeah, because there wasn't even any like really big set pieces in this movie, it seemed. It seemed like most of it's like in the woods and the desert, yeah, compared and Vegas.
Compared to Apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, Apocalypse is gigantic. There's just so much going on that...
It's a mess.
I don't really know what happened.
Stuff, John. Stuff happened.
But did they have to make a Wolverine clone at the end? I mean, again, I was thinking Wolverine, X-Men Origins, that they're fighting the Deadpool thing. I'm like, okay... Of all the characters that are out there, why does it have to be yet another Wolverine?
Right. You know what would have been awesome is either Sabretooth coming back as like a zombie mind control type thing, or Omega.
That's exactly what they do with Deadpool. Do not do that.
No, do it.
Yeah, right.
Or why the fuck wasn't Omega Red in this? You know what I mean? He's like the only other like big Wolverine villain they didn't get to. Hmm. It's just like they could have been like, yeah, here's the Russian guy. And, like, that could have been the fight at the end of, like, this new mutant that's, like, half cyborg.
Yeah, I would have liked it if they just focused on Pierce, because it was very much white hat, black hat.
Yeah.
With them, like, it was you know, the lone gunman against the gang. And that totally worked. Yeah, I was a little thrown by the Wolverine clone, too. I'm like, we always have to raise the stakes to a crazy level. And for the most part, it was a lot like the Wolverine solo series. This was the first... one of those movies that felt like Wolverine's solo book and not just an X-Men movie without other X-Men. And to be fair, some of the X-Men movies are Wolverine movies without other X-Men.
It's Wolverine and his amazing friends.
Yeah.
Firestar.
Yeah.
Storm.
Yeah. And I guess.
And the Toad.
It's like a.
Because it doesn't matter if they're good or bad, they're just going to be in this thing for 10 minutes.
I think it's like a retrospective on like the whole from X-Men all the way to Logan is I think Hugh Jackman did a really, really awesome job as Wolverine flying completely in the face of what that character's supposed to be, right? 15 or 20 years ago, Wolverine was just like the psychopath on the X-Men that they had on the team just so he wouldn't join the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. You know what I mean? It's like when he was first on the team, let's not remember, this guy was like a lunatic. And Hugh Jackman came in and completely changed what that was and played it. You know, he still did like the psychopathic animal
thing.
But in
the same way that Robert Downey Jr. changed who Tony Stark was.
Yeah. And he really did leave a mark on that character, I think. And he's probably some of the best parts of the X-Men movies. I think he does a really good job. But the over-Wolverining of the X-Men movies is always been my problem with those movies. And it's a problem that the Avengers has a little bit where it's very much an Iron Man movie with all his buddies. And every time they scale it back, it works better. I think, you know, he's clearly the focal point of the movie. He's clearly the A-list guy who's in the main role. But it's like, whenever they scale it back and let it be like a team movie like it's supposed to be, I think it works much better. You know, it's like he's a great piece in that movie, but when the movie becomes all about him, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, although the movies without him I don't like as much. You know, Apocalypse... both Apocalypse and even First Class, which everybody really loves, and I like it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find the center of who's that team because it feels like it's a bunch of B-listers. And Apocalypse, I mean, you have Cyclops and Jean Grey and Nightcrawler, but it still feels like there's no center. First Class is literally D-listers. I mean, it's Havoc and Banshee.
But I think First Class is more about...
a couple of guys who are in comics I never read.
But I think that's more about, like, Xavier and Magneto's relationship, which is why I like that movie a lot, is I think those two characters with the opposing ideologies, I think, is what makes... I mean, that's why X-Men was great in the first place, like, mm-hmm. the comic. It just seems like the studio just latches onto the most popular thing that they have, and they just run with it. And it just makes... That's why, like, Cyclops, who I think is a good character... is always shitty in the movies because it's like they don't give him anything to do except pout and right. lose his girlfriend. You
well,
know what I mean?
Because he's there to be an obstacle for Wolverine, and that's right. about it.
And that's not what that character's supposed to be. It's like that guy's been around since the beginning. He's a much more important character than Wolverine
he's
is
supposed to be
X-Men.
The Captain America of the X-Men.
Yeah.
And Marvel's done a much better job also because they do solo movies of building these characters up. That I disagree with you that Avengers is... Tony Stark and his amazing friends. I think they're really well balanced.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I think that's the danger of that movie. And I think Joss Whedon juggled that a lot better than any of the X-Men team movies did. Even going back to that first one, I mean, the entire movie pretty much just follows Wolverine around. And it wouldn't be bad if that was the entrance to the X-Men movie is this guy that doesn't know who they are. But then the second movie is a Wolverine movie.
Yeah,
where like,
Weapon X.
Yeah, it's like all his guys come to the school and it's just like, I don't know. They took those movies and that's the same thing. It's like Days of Future Past is a great comic book, but they were like, Kitty Pryde's that interesting. Let's make it all about Wolverine again. And it's like, holy shit, guys, come on. There's other characters, you know?
Yeah, they keep turning Kitty Pryde into Wolverine because in Days of Future Past, she's the main character. And then I was watching X-Men 1 this morning, which now looks like a really low-budget movie.
Yeah.
Like, even the Danger Room, I'm like, this kind of looks like an episode of Star Trek. It's... You could tell, like, the studio had no confidence in this movie. They put it out, like, way late in the summer. Like, there wasn't a lot of build-up to it. I actually, at the time, I had a friend whose girlfriend worked for a press agent, and she called me to ask me who Wolverine was.
Yeah.
She's like,
could you imagine?
Yeah. She's like, we can't understand here. Wolverine, he's the leader of the X-Men?
Yeah. That's amazing.
This was a conversation I had 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, he's kind of the rebel. He's the cool one. And they were like, oh, okay. Now we get it.
Yeah.
But
flash forward 15 years and now you have a comic book called Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know?
And it's the most popular X-Men book.
Go try to find somebody in America who doesn't know who Wolverine is now. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I mean, he's at Spider-Man, Batman, Superman level of popularity now. You know?
The thing that gets me, though, back to Wolverine, I know everyone loves him, but can you imagine if DC put out a comic book saying Batman and the Justice League?
Oh, yeah.
You mean like Batman and the Outsiders?
No, but hang on a second. The Outsiders is like a D-list group of heroes. You know what I mean? It's like the X-Men is Marvel's, arguably, their second biggest property. I mean, it's a little insensitive.
Yeah, but in the movies, it is a bunch of D-list guys in Wolverine.
But I think
that... It doesn't matter that it's Colossus and Cyclops
and I think
Storm.
That that's the real problem of it is Fox is a bunch of idiots that don't understand... the property that they have. Marvel understands the properties that they limited themselves to by selling the X-Men and Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and the Hulk out. So they took their guys, like Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, who were previously B, C, and D-list characters, and made them all A-list. Fox had the same opportunity to do that with the X-Men, and they fucked it up.
Fox had
they
the put same all... opportunity to do it with the Fantastic Four.
Oh, agreed, totally. But that's what I'm saying, is they put all their eggs in this Wolverine basket, and they wrote it for 17 years. Now the guy's walking away... arguably, you know, it's time. And now they're doing the same thing with Deadpool. It's like, all right, Deadpool's going to be the guy that we put all our shit on for the next 17 years.
Right, and there's a Deadpool short that begins this movie.
And then, according to this, now this short, I was confused by it, I should say, when we saw it in the theater, because I was like, I thought Deadpool wasn't going to be in Wolverine, and then he wasn't. It was just like this weird short before the movie.
It was like going to a Pixar movie.
Yeah, which was great, and stuff like that I think is awesome. I really like that short. But then they posted it online, and they cut out a fucking Stan Lee cameo out of the short, out of the movie, and then, like, why?
I don't get that at all. Yeah, because I...
Did you see this, Elliot?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
Why cut the Stan Lee cameo? Because he doesn't have a cameo in Logan.
And we were talking before, because I noticed we didn't have a Stan Lee cameo when we were at the movie. But you said that he wasn't in the other two Wolverine movies, right?
No, he has no cameo in any of the Wolverine movies.
And I think
he's in Deadpool, and I think he's in every X-Men. But I honestly...
Yeah, I remember him in the first X-Men. He's, like, selling hot dogs on, like, a beach.
Yeah,
I don't remember the other two.
I couldn't tell you if he's in, like, Apocalypse or
Days of Future Past.
I can't remember them.
Yeah. But I get him not being in Wolverine because he didn't invent Wolverine. It's like Len Wein did. But it's like, he's like fucking Walt Disney for Marvel. It's like
he also didn't invent Deadpool.
Right, exactly. So it's like, put that dude in any movie he wants to be in that has a Marvel logo on it because it's fucking Stan Lee. You say what you will about the guy. I know there's like people that aren't super fans, but... you can't argue. He's like the only guy left that did all this shit. You're not going to get Steve Ditko out of his apartment to go do a fucking cameo in a Spider-Man movie. You know what I mean?
And I think they dropped the ball. I mean, why put that Deadpool short in the beginning? Put it at the end for the post-credits scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Yet again,
you're
no
right.
Post-credits scene in a Sony film. No, it wasn't Sony. It was 20th Century Fox. I'm like... Marvel films, the Marvel studio films, always have a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And X-Men usually do, but I'll disagree with you there because when the tone settled, the one thing I said in the movie theater was, we're watching the credits and the movie theater is basically empty. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? There's always a post-credit sequence, but I'll be disappointed if there's one because I felt like the movie ended and I wouldn't want to see a piece of another movie. I'm sure it was discussed. Like, I thought it was in the right place where it was, but it was a clear sign that it was like, hey, we don't have Wolverine anymore. Well, we're going full Deadpool.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's the right way to go because they've had this ultra serious, ultra complicated tone for a while, which is not the Marvel tone. And honestly, if they're like a Marvel tone but R-rated, because the news came out that the X-Force movie, like Ryan Reynolds is going to have a big hand in the X-Force movie.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, that dude worked hard enough to get that movie made, petitioned for years and years and all the other nonsense and hoops he had to jump through. He should, and he clearly understands that character, he should have a more bigger hand in what Fox is going to do. If they're going to transition from X-Men, X-Force, and it's instead of Wolverine and the X-Men, it's going to be Deadpool and X-Force and Cable and all these other knuckleheads, it's like, go for it, but give the guy who understands this shit more control over it so he can kind of guide this process, because... Like, look at the mess of the X-Men movies. It's like, try to draw me a continuity line through the X-Men movies. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a hot mess. Like, I forgot in X-Men 3, Xavier dies. And then I guess he comes back and then is in, like, a different body. But then time travel nonsense and he's alive and old and Wolverine. It's like, fuck off. You know, it's like, these guys are such idiots with their bullshit timelines. It's, if you want to do time travel, it's just like, go for it. But that is the hardest concept to do, I think, in sci-fi, is like time travel, to make it logically make sense. You know what I mean? It's like, name a good time travel movie. I got Looper.
Star Trek 4.
Or not Looper.
Back to the Future.
Well, no, but hang on a second. But like, they have to be
time
like
after time.
Consistently logical. I think that's a very difficult thing to do.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, these are all comedies.
Well, you didn't put
Star Trek 4 is not a comedy. Okay, Star Trek 4 is good.
Yeah, they save whales in space. Don't tell me that's a serious movie. So do you guys think this
right,
this good? Right, we all liked it except Elliot. You want to take a dump on it?
No. I did. I enjoyed it a lot.
Did you get more coffee than everyone else?
This is like my third cup today. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I don't tell you when I have coffee in the morning because I feel like then you'll be like, oh, you don't need more coffee. And
yeah, because I would drink your coffee.
Yeah, no.
I wait all morning.
You're a better man than I am.
This whole podcast, I've been watching your level screen, and whenever Steven talks, it's like he's having a heart attack right now.
It jumps.
These levels will be adjusted when I post this.
I'll just lean further back.
But to answer the question, no, I enjoyed the movie. No, I did. I enjoyed it. I just wish that they just didn't do the Wolverine clone at the end. Come up with a a more clever ending to it. I mean, it was, again, but it was, you get the symbolism of it. It's, yeah, you know, right, you know, Logan seeing his past and everything about him that he lived kind of being brought up.
And it underscores how weak he is now.
Right. And then, you know, and then he has to see that, does that, does his history repeat itself again, or can he stop it from occurring? And then, of course, you know, the little girl helping him, and then yeah, you pass it on to the next generation and blah blah blah.
Yeah, Sabretooth would have been cool, and I saw a headline, but I didn't read the article, that they said they talked about putting Sabretooth in it.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of problems with Sabretooth. First of all, if you put him at the end of the movie, he's got to be through the whole movie,
right?
And then he's got to be around the Reavers, and now it's a different kind of movie. The second thing is, we've had a bad Sabretooth in a good movie and a good Sabretooth in a bad movie.
Yeah.
Who do you pick? Or do you get a third Sabretooth, in which case you've broken the continuity even more? The X-Men continuity is like a horror franchise.
Yeah.
Where it's like every movie kind of ends everything, and then they're like, all right, we got to do another one. So a dog pisses on the ground, and now Freddy's back.
Yeah.
Which wow. does actually happen.
That's wow. a real thing that happened.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying, is I think it's they did the best they could with the mess they made for themselves. You know, it's like it was a good movie, but it had everything kind of working against it for like the last like 15 years. Well, because like you said, they made such a mess of Sabretooth and Weapon X and the timeline and Professor X and all this stuff. And I think this was a good way to do that story. I mean, that comic is ridiculous. That Old Man Logan comic book, it's like I like it, but it's it's basically, it looks like a comic I wrote when I was 12. Do you know, it's like, here's a map of America and Dr. Doom owns Chicago and the Red Skull's in DC and the fucking Kingpin owns Vegas or whatever it was. And then they're going to drive a Spider-Mobile with blind Hawkeye and get chased by T-Rexes covered in symbiote. Like, the comic is insane.
I have never read the comic book, but now I want to.
All right. You can.
It is Mark Millar writing Hickman's Secret Wars.
Yeah. Oh, geez. It's crazy. You can absolutely borrow my omnibus. We have it right here, and it has his entire run. Now, there was some crazy...
That omnibus also has Enemy of the Estate, Enemy yes. of the State, which is a better story.
Yeah, and all see, right. That's the thing. The problem with this is like they don't have the rights to other characters, so doing that comic justice is like impossible. But I think they did do a good job with what they had. Now, there's a weird thing about Old Man Logan in the comics. I don't know how much of this you guys know. Mark Millar is a crazy person, in case you guys weren't aware.
I didn't know that.
Wait, is right. it Millar or Miller? I thought he pronounced
Millar. I think it's the A.
Yes, it's M-A-L-L-A-R.
A-R, but yeah. Is that the way he pronounces it?
I'm not sure. I always do the, long A's because of Chicago.
He right. he started as like Grant Morrison's protege.
Yeah.
Like they wrote a run of the Flash together.
Yeah, I remember that.
But in the comics, so he wrote Old Man Logan. And remember he had that awful Fantastic Four run?
Yeah, it was not good.
With Hitch? In that, there's an older version of Wolverine in that run. That is Old Man Logan.
And that's before then, right?
He wrote it before, but Mark Millar's been doing this weird thing with his own continuity in Marvel. So do you guys remember he wrote a series called 1985?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So in that series, there's a mutant in the real world that is the only mutant in that world. He uses that character in his Fantastic Four run, okay, with Brian Hitch. He also uses a future team of superheroes in that run with, like, the Hooded Man, who ended up being Wolverine, a Hulk, an Ultron, and all these other characters. That Hulk is the baby Hulk Wolverine rescues at the end of Old Man Logan.
Is that the one that's on Counter-Earth? Like in the new Fantastic Earth. Four run?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they build another Earth that's, like, in the other side of the orbit?
Yeah. And the villain from his Fantastic Four run, the guy they bring in to help beat the Dr. Doom boss or whatever that bullshit was, is the guy from 1985. So Mark Millar has been, like, fucking with his own, like, personal Marvel continuity for, like, years. Hmm. And all this shit is, like, continued. So if you read this and you read his Fantastic Four run, it's the same Wolverine, but years and years and years later. That he, like, the Hulk grows up and is, like, Bruce Banner Jr. And, like, this Wolverine and him, like, put together the Defenders.
I can't criticize, because I did the exact same thing with my run on Army of Darkness.
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah,
it had Old Man Logan in it.
Yeah, yeah. Really. No, with a baby Hulk be raised.
But I've done stuff. If you read all my Army of Darkness books, I pick up things from stuff that's completely unrelated.
Yeah,
I have a character from Ash Saves Obama that appears later on.
That's awesome. I actually like that they do it. I just think it's something where it's difficult, unless you've read all these things, to recognize. Like, I didn't realize the 1985 character was the guy from Fantastic Four until, like, years later. But as soon as I saw the Hooded Man, I think they revealed him after... No, this came up before Old Man Logan, but then I reread that run after Old Man Logan came out, and I was like, holy shit, this is both Mark Millar with like a Wolverine in the future. This is the same dude.
That's the same thing Hickman's done.
Yeah.
From Secret Avengers to Fantastic Four to Uncanny Avengers to Secret Wars.
All that stuff.
Like the first issue of Secret Wars is the kids from FF.
Yeah. And if you actually read his, it was a great book, but they never finished it for God knows whatever reason. The S.H.I.E.L.D. book he was doing.
I was going to ask, has that series ever finished?
No. He picked up concepts from S.H.I.E.L.D. and carried it all the way through Fantastic Four, FF, and Avengers.
Was that the Secret Warriors?
Was that the no, but that was part of it too. Okay. Secret Warriors picked up a lot of those threads, but like it was like Leonardo da Vinci was like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in the 18 or 1700s or whatever it was.
Yes, Leonardo da Vinci versus Galactus. You cannot beat that.
Class. Yeah, that's the thing. He was coming up with like awesome concepts. Yeah. He's a great concept guy, but it just felt like his ideas were so big he would never ever get to them. And like even if you read everything he did at Marvel, there's plot threads all over the place that never really go anywhere because, you know, corporate bullshit, you know, he has to play by the rules and all this stuff.
Right.
Well, Chris Claremont always did that too. I remember his runs on X-Men when there would be plot threads he'd start laying down and then you'd never hear from it again.
Yeah.
Well, so. I remember a lot of them in the 90s, like Scott Lobdell would go back and finish them.
Right.
Like the thread, like the lineage between Mystique, Sabretooth, and Nightcrawler that he like put in the 80s, like Lobdell did in Unlimited. And tied it all together.
Yeah.
That's obsessive fanboy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a Doctor Who miniseries that's going to address all the issues between the 8th Doctor and the 7th Doctor, and then maybe even the 14th Doctor, which I will also create.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just very fanboyish.
Which is only of interest to people that have read all of those so many times that they have problems with them.
Yeah.
But I did... Going back to the movie, I did really enjoy the more subdued tone it took. This was the most subdued X-Men movie yet.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I love the fact that it was set in 2029 and there was like maybe two examples of future technology. Like there are no more truck drivers. That was like the big thing. And obviously there's no more mutants, but we didn't have a lot. Everything looked pretty ordinary. The TVs looked the same. They go to Vegas, and they obviously just used Vegas as a location.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anytime they do, like, the cars looked a little different, like the whatever that limo Wolverine was driving around in had, like, a weird grill, and it was supposed to be, like, a future car.
It just looked like an SUV limo to me.
Yeah, but there wasn't anything crazy in that. Even, like, the guy with the robot hand, the Reavers, it was, like, they didn't get silly with it. You know, the one guy wasn't driving around with, like, fucking bulldozer legs.
They were using They were using iPhones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like set 15 years in the future.
Right. Things won't be that crazy in 15 years if we all, you know, make it.
Well, I mean, considering that what the Blade Runner sequel that's coming up is supposed to be what? Is it called Blade Runner 2029 or 2039? I forget what it is.
I think it's 2029. It might be the same year as Logan.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they take place in the same universe. Right.
Well, why not? Where are the flying cars still?
Yeah.
No flying cars. It's funny that they were talking about that. That's the next thing Google and wants to do is these self-driving cars, which you have all these trucking companies that are already want to get on board with that.
Yeah.
Because if you have self-driving trucks, you don't have to worry about driver fatigue, paying drivers, and all that kind of stuff. I was going, holy crap, this is... I will give Logan this. It was that little... You're right. It was that little bit where he goes go a few years into the future, and it's all very plausible, but not too crazy like a Blade Runner or Back to the Future, how 29, you know...
A year ago was supposed to be...
self-placing shoes. Right. But it also, I thought, underscored how dystopian this universe was, where, like, kind of progress shut down.
It's,
where
it's,
they were so freaked out by mutants that they weren't innovating.
Yeah, because there's a lot of... I wasn't super clear what was going on, but it looked like the Reavers were working with, like, border... Or what do you call people that go after immigrants?
ICE.
ICE, yeah. It looked like
border
ICE.
Border Patrol.
Yeah.
A lot of that... I will give them credit for this, too. As you were saying, it's only been... They probably wrote the movie years ago. The production probably only ended maybe a year or so, maybe 6 months before the actual election.
Yeah.
And but you could really feel how a lot of the political the zeitgeist, as you would call it,
yeah,
was affected this
seeped
film.
In. Yeah,
and there was so much about it that I was going, holy crap, this feels so real to me.
Yeah.
Well, he's living in Mexico and then making his living across the border.
Across the border, yeah.
Right.
As an Uber driver.
Right.
And yeah.
The only other movie that really made me feel that way was the Scarlett Johansson, Joaquin Phoenix film, Her. Remember that
one? Oh, yeah.
About the people falling in love with their OSs.
That was good.
And that movie took place like 50 years in the future.
Right, but it was the same thing. It was like they just kind of tweaked with fashion, and it was like, you know, they have, what's that robot you can talk to in your home? And it like
Alexa. It felt real.
It really did feel authentic. And I think that's a thing. You know, the first X-Men movie takes place in the not too distant future,
right,
but they don't do anything crazy with technology. And I think that's a really, it's a difficult thing to project
other
where
than
you
the stuff
think
that the X-Men do, like Cerebro and
they have the fantasy technology of like the superhero shit.
Yeah, they never quite nailed the Danger Room.
But I think it's like there's a fine line between trying to project what you think the next 15, 20, 30 years is going to look like without going over the top and being like silly about it. And I think this did do a good job with like the self-driving trucks. There wasn't too much else beyond that. That was, you know, the robot hands even. It's just like, yeah, you know, we're kind of getting there. Like prosthetics are getting like unbelievably complex now.
I will say that was a cool scene. It was a real muted, understated scene where the guy's just fixing his own hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's
somebody,
like
a, and like a nurse gives him a socket wrench.
Yeah, you want that? He goes, yeah, okay. And you're just sitting there and you know that the majority of that is CGI.
Yeah.
So, but the actor did such a convincing job of it. That was the other thing that got me too, is that the villains were kind of like villainish, but
they weren't kooky, though.
Right.
Yeah,
no, they
didn't
were very much Western villains.
Yeah.
Except for when the Great Intelligence comes out and wants to fight Wolverine.
Yeah, and and that's where it goes 90 degrees to the side. Yeah, Richard E. Grant, who started as
was that like the old guy in the suit that was like piloting the Wolverine robot or whatever?
Yeah, he was in. They built him up to be the big villain in a season of Doctor Who, and he did like two episodes and talked.
Yeah,
but he's a big British actor. There's a film like in the 80s called With Nail and I, and apparently if you were Gen X in Britain, it's the greatest film you ever saw. It's him and Paul McGann drunk for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And like yelling at things. Yeah, and I saw it. I was like, really? This? Because like it had way too much of a reputation. But, you know, they both did well, but he pops up in everything.
Yeah.
And there was a good cast. I was really impressed with Stephen Merchant.
Yes.
Is
he was
that
really good.
Who is that?
Caliban.
Yeah. So what have I seen him in before?
He's Ricky Gervais's partner. So he's in everything Ricky Gervais does. The really tall guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he did not play it as comic relief, which could have easily been done for that role. He could have been Alfred.
Yeah.
And he was very serious, and he had a lot of nuance to it. This is probably the most dramatic role he's ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he was really good in that. I would say, that's when the movie turned into Stranger Things. Oh, evil scientist with a little girl doing experiments.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, I kept going, now it turned into that. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when all the kids escaped and then created their own little village, that was the Omega Man.
Goonies.
No, but the Omega Man was a bunch of young kids with one older guy who does not make it. Spoilers for the Omega Man.
There's a weird thing, you guys noticed this, and I'm 100% guilty of this as well. The black kid in the forest who's running around had electric powers.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that if you're a black character and you have superpowers, it's like 90%. It's like electric or magnetic
powers.
Like
black lightning or static shock?
Yeah. It's like there's a weird thing where they like, and I did
Jamie
it too.
Jamie Foxx's Electro.
Right. The bad guy in the comic, like me and Carm did, is a black guy with like electromagnetic
powers.
Well,
then that's your fault.
No, I'm saying I'm very guilty of this too. Where there's just something I think about. It's like every time it's like a black guy with superpowers, it's like he's probably electric.
Maybe
Cyborg has electricity running through him.
Yeah.
Maybe they read your comic book and they went, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Still not out
They haven't read a thing that's not available yet.
Good thing that Kickstarter happened.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch.
Man, cut me deep, John.
The temperature just dropped in here.
Really? I feel like it's getting kind of warm in here.
Oh, I'm very excited to read it.
Yeah, it'll be out. Free comic book day, May
29. The year Logan takes place.
Yeah. That should be enough time to get it done.
Yeah, but the cast was very good. They definitely all hit the same tone. And again, they fixed everything that bugged me about the Wolverine, because I've been defending the Wolverine for a long time, and there's parts of that movie that really work. I watched it earlier this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ninjas on the bullet train is fantastic. I always say, if you watch the extended cut, when he gets to the village where, like, all the ninjas are waiting for him and then they shoot spears in his back, there is a five-minute fight of him against all of those ninjas. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's the Wolverine, ending they should have gone with.
Yeah, the Wolverine movies have this weird habit of ending the movie before the movie ends. Like, Wolverine Origins, which, I mean, nothing is good, but I remember seeing it in the theater for the first time when Wolverine finds Sabretooth and he pops his claws, and it's the first time he sees adamantium. And Liev Schreiber's like, oh, shiny. And they start fighting. And I looked at the time, and it had been an hour. And I turned to Renee and was like, is this movie over? Because the plot is done.
Yeah.
The plot is, you know, he's living in Sabretooth's shadow. He's betrayed by him. He gets experimented on. He's now stronger than Sabretooth. He beats Sabretooth. The movie's done. And then there's just this extra hour of alternate versions of characters of, like, here's Emma Frost and here's Cyclops who don't line up with the other versions.
Yeah.
And here's what we're going to do to Deadpool. And here's the Blob. And the Wolverine does that in the last 15 minutes with baby Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because that movie should end in that village. He should kill every one of those ninjas, rescue Mariko, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then this movie kind of does it, but this movie at least held it organically, where it felt like it was part of the same movie with the Wolverine clone. Like, him, it should have been just him fighting all of the cyborgs in the woods and getting killed. But they always have to throw in that extra. It's like, well, it's a superhero movie. Throw this in.
Yeah. And I think the only reason it didn't bother me as much this time is because the bar was so low from X-Men movies. It's like they're the only... It seems like a lot of the other superhero movies have kind of figured out they have to raise things up a bit. I think Iron Man kind of changed things. We've talked about this before, where the Marvel movies are trying to do... They did it once, I think. Twice. Iron Man raised the bar, and then Avengers raised the bar. But Doctor Strange was the same movie as Iron Man.
Which is the same movie as Ant-Man.
Right, and so is Ant-Man. And every other Avengers movie is going to be the same as Avengers. It's like there's going to be a minute before
Captain America was the same as Avengers.
Right. I think it'll be a minute before they raise the bar again. But with the X-Men movies, it seems like they made the first one, and then the second one was better, but then that's kind of all for, like, progress. And I think these movies, I was expecting some Hollywood bullshit, for lack of a better term, at the end of this movie, like baby Iron Man. So when it was like a clone of Wolverine, I was like, well, okay. I mean, at least it's not some CGI'd Hulk bullshit monster thing. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was at the ending, because I just expect by the third act of an X-Men movie, the fucking wheels come off the cart and the thing just turns into a mess. I mean, look at, like, Apocalypse. What the fuck was that ending? You know what I mean? It's like, right, just put everybody in running and screaming and explosions and jumping. It's like,
I would expand that to superhero movies. Like, there's very few third acts of superhero
that
movies.
Hold up.
Even superhero movies I love that really work for me.
Yeah.
Because they usually ramp it up to such an extended degree. Even Avengers 1, I kind of have a hard time following, because I'm like, oh, there's just aliens and Times Square, and just the fact that I worked in the neighborhood oriented me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, that's around that corner. But they always go to this degree. I mean, you know, you think of something like The Dark Knight Rises, where you're just like, wait, what? Or there's so many plot threads running around. I'm trying to think what my... Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, all have the same third act.
Yeah.
Every Spider-Man movie ends with Mary Jane getting kidnapped by the villain and Spider-Man fighting him and taking his mask off.
Yeah.
And it's like, it seems like no matter how interesting a story, Deadpool does it.
Yeah.
You know, Deadpool, the fight at the helicarrier.
He kidnaps the girl and they hold him on the thing, and then he fights all the bad guys. And
it seems like no matter how different a film is, Guardians of the Galaxy just turns into Star Wars.
Yeah. They're very formulaic. And I, you know, like I said, I like these movies, but that's why the ending, I think, for this one didn't bother me, because the last Wolverine movie ending was so awful that it was just like, well, it wasn't as bad as that. So, you know, it's like Clone Wolverine or whatever you call him was like, ah, sure.
Right.
Cloverine.
Yeah, that's there you go.
Like chlor.
Chlor.
Well, I don't know. I have nothing to add.
So do you guys?
I'm trying to think of my favorite third act from a movie.
My favorite third act, even though it doesn't work in the long term,
yeah,
but to me it made perfect sense, was Superman in Superman the movie, when
him
he goes
the world
when he turns well. That's symbolic of him going back in time.
Yeah, I think right. it's but the visual didn't work, the but visual, the concept is there. Right. Yeah,
and but where they drop the ball is that when he resumes the timeline, time it seems like everything that happened stops, doesn't happen then.
Right.
Like the earthquake should continue, like right. the earthquake that he rescues Lois Lane from.
Right.
So what
he didn't like fix the dam, right. you know, and all that right. other stuff.
So what he should have done was made it that he goes back in time, but when he resumes the timeline, it's now an alternate him in that timeline, and then he's there in time to fix to save Lois Lane. So he is in turn in two places at once.
See,
which...
time travel, it's complicated. Go fuck yourself if you're gonna try it. But here's the thing. All right,
you know what? My favorite. Well, let's talk about this. I keep thinking about it. I think my favorite third act is the Tim Burton Batman. Other than the fact that they kill the Joker, it takes everything that that movie is doing and puts it to its logical conclusion. And I think my problem with most superhero movies is that third act takes everything that the movie's doing and then hypes it up to a point where it's no longer that movie anymore. That the Wolverine is the perfect example of that, where yeah. it's like where the big fights are him fighting ninjas on a bullet train, which is still amazing. And then fighting a bunch of ninjas in a village, and then all of a sudden it's an old guy in a giant armor.
Yeah,
like that's not part of that movie,
right? It's like it's almost like somebody else comes in and you know just does a completely 180. And you know if they're not involved in the start of the movie, you shouldn't be involved in the end of the movie. What do you guys think they're gonna do now? All right, so if Hugh Jackman's done with Wolverine, do you think Fox is just going to be like, nah, we're done with Wolverine, we'll put all our money on Deadpool? Or do you think like X-23 is going to get her own movie? Or do you think they're going to recast and just do a new Wolverine?
I mean, you spent all this time setting up Jennifer Lawrence as the leader of the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guessing you could bring a gal as X-23 into that. You know, and just do that.
No, but see, so do they just say like, ah, fuck the timeline? X-23 is now 20 years in the past, and she's with the X-Men.
True, or they can do it in the future.
Yeah,
X-Men in the future. I mean, it's funny that, I mean, back into the whole time travel thing, but Logan does take place post Days of Future Past, which essentially reboots
the continuity.
So there, it's like it reestablished a lot of things, but we still don't quite know what's been established, so you can kind of screw around with things.
Yeah,
you know,
because right. they are still doing another X-Men movie, right? Yeah, then they announced
the next one
the title
is Supernova, which the rumor is they're gonna
try to do Phoenix.
They're
gonna
right. do the Dark Phoenix and not just tack it onto X-Men 2 and then finish it
in X-Men
3. Yeah,
yeah,
but then you got to bring in the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. And the moon and all
that
stuff.
They didn't bring in Hawkeye and the Venom dinosaurs in this movie.
But that's the best part.
Right.
There really aren't superhero movies that are direct adaptations of books. They always say, you know, I think the best example is Dark Knight Rises, where I go, oh, this is Nightfall and No Man's Land.
Yeah.
But mixed into a new plot.
Yeah.
That's as close as you get. And Avengers is like, okay, it's Loki because he fought them in Avengers 1.
Right, and I think that's the thing, is there isn't ever a graphic novel to point to. Even Old Man Logan, there is the comic that it's based off of, but it's going to be wildly different than this movie. It's
right.
it's like almost unrecognizable. And I think that that's a big problem with these movies. There isn't a graphic novel. There's not a single graphic novel any one of these movies are based on. And they maybe shouldn't be. But I think my frustration comes from, like, when they do Days of Future Past or they did the Dark Phoenix saga. It's like they fuck it up every time. And I don't necessarily think that the movies are going to be able to get away with being like, here's the Shi'ar and space aliens to fight the X-Men.
Right.
It works in the comics. That story I've reread, it's fantastic. But I don't know that the everyday movie goer is going to wrap their head around bird people from space.
Yeah, it's hard to have mutants fight aliens in one movie.
Yeah,
because I forget who said it, but there's a theory that you can only have one magic thing. So it's like the one person that has powers, which is why in the first version of everyone's movie, almost always they are fighting a villain who has the same powers as them. It's Ant-Man and Yellowjacket. It's Green Goblin getting his powers like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's Iron Man and Ironmonger, because you've established the sci-fi of there's this thing that this gives you powers.
This one special thing. Red so Skull is based off of the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah, so both a good guy and a bad guy get that.
Yeah, and I think, and that's the issue with these movies is, you know, we've had so many of them so quickly. They are kind of trapped in this like formula where it's just like Baron Mordo is the bad guy in Doctor Strange, but he has the same powers because
I did like that he wasn't the bad guy in Doctor Strange. It's right, like a but they got the sequence where it's like maybe in Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, and I think that's what they tried to do with Sinestro and Green Lantern, was like, all right, he's going to be the good guy in the first movie, which I think is a good idea, and then the bad guy in the second movie.
Which will never happen.
That will never happen, yeah. It's like even Deadpool, it's like he just fought more, you know, mutants. And it's like they should be fighting mutants, but it's just like...
But he fought more guys that were in the Weapon X program, too.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, is it just seems like, you know, they breaking that mold, I think, is going to be like the next big challenge for these movies.
Well, that's the advantage Marvel Studios has, because they have these movies that cross over. Infinity War can have guy that builds an armor next to Hulk, next to Thor, next to a group that comes from space, next to a guy that does magic, just because they've all been established in their own movies.
Yeah.
Like, even though Doctor Strange takes place in the MCU, he wouldn't be fighting a guy that wears armor. It wouldn't make sense.
I'd like to see it.
I know, but not in his first movie. He's a magic guy. He has to fight magic guys.
Right.
But they can all fight Thanos.
Yeah.
I don't understand why y'all are seeing the X-Men can't go into space when Moonraker made it very plausible for James Bond to go into space. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
James Bond doesn't have superpowers.
Again, Moonraker. I dropped the mic, but I don't want to break your mic.
If you watch Moonraker again, you realize they're not in space all that much.
Yeah, they're in like low orbit.
There's a lot of developing the rocket.
And there's zero gravity sex. Can't complain.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to give that a go?
There's nothing to push against. Just spin in circles.
Yeah. You know, it's probably a lot more difficult than we think it is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's way roomier than I think a space shuttle really is.
Yeah. I don't think you have as much room as you
think
you do.
And the sheet stayed on the bed.
Yeah, and on them. I'm like, wait, what?
The other thing I want to point out, just because we're coming to the end, that you've mentioned a couple of times, Stephen, about Logan being recast.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to do it. I feel like with Marvel Studios, they're not going to recast Robert Downey Jr. What they're trying to do is build another guy who is as popular. And they haven't quite done it. You know, they've got a lot of people like. They've got Benedict Cumberbatch. They've got Paul Rudd. They've got Chris Evans. None of them have that charisma of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And I think Hugh Jackman's the same way, because the look he has in this film is nothing like Wolverine at all. He doesn't have the points. He doesn't have the sideburns till like the very end. He has a full beard, but he's instantly Wolverine because he's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like we've talked before. It's like the guy that followed, what's his name, is James Bond. It's like it was so bad they had to like rinse it out with the same guy who did it the first time. You know, and I think it's just like, that is a problem, but you're telling me that Fox, if they hold on to the rights to the X-Men, are not going to recast Wolverine at some point. I think that's... I don't see that happening. I'm 100% convinced that it's like, give them enough time. It might be 10 years from now, but they will 100% recast Wolverine.
I can't believe I'm agreeing with him.
Yeah.
I think if they recast Wolverine, they've got to reboot everything.
Oh, they will. Yeah,
which is probably
absolutely
a good idea.
Yeah, at this point, they need to.
Just cast a new guy and don't even acknowledge that it's a recasting. It's just the guy. He's there. Like you've been doing with Spider-Man how many times?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Spider-Man's faster than Batman. We're on a third Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There was a Simpsons joke where they were going over Hollywood and there was a Hollywood sign that said, "Welcome to Hollywood, 3 years without a new Spider-Man."
That's fantastic.
How many years till a new Wolverine? 2029.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you
That'd
go.
Be a good time to do it.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely eventually get it, but I think they're gonna. This is gonna be the era of Deadpool, because right now, you know, they've recast Cyclops three times.
Have there been three Cyclopses?
Yeah, because there was a Cyclops in Wolverine Origins.
Oh, that little kid, and now there's another
James
younger
Marsden
kid.
James Marsden was in the trilogy and then had a cameo, and then there was the kid in Apocalypse.
You know what's crazy about that is if you took every scene Cyclops is in every one of those movies, you wouldn't have a full movie. And he's been recast three times. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
Makes me mad. I love Cyclops.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, he's a great character.
I get annoyed when people say he's milquetoast or boring. I'm like, guys, you obviously don't get the character.
Yeah, right. And I think that's Marvel's fault now because they've made such a mess of him recently in the comics. But if you go back and read like that Claremont stuff, that's a great character.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think he's been ruined recently. But Claremont was just, I mean, he figured that character perfectly.
Yeah, which is why he was the only one Claremont kept.
Yeah, in fact, I'll say up until Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men, they knew what to do with Cyclops. After Astonishing X-Men, I think it kind of came off the cards because I think Whedon got it too because he was reading all that Claremont stuff.
Yeah, but there were some bad Cyclops runs before then. I mean, the beginning of X-Factor when he just decides to leave his wife and infant to chase Jean Grey.
There's crazy stuff in between
then,
doesn't
help anybody. And then that whole thing where he's kind of Apocalypse.
Yeah, Sakaari's son or whatever they were calling it.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Not really good when Cable joins the X-Men.
There's a lot of bad X-Men comic books.
Yeah, so this film is recommended by everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I have a hard time being like, yeah, you have to see it in theaters because movie tickets are expensive, but it's definitely worth seeing.
It is something to see with a group, though. I mean, I remember there was a bit of an energy to it. Everyone applauded at the end.
Oh, yeah? We saw it in the morning, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, we saw it like 1 in the afternoon because we were both off. So our theater wasn't that full.
And don't bring any young kids.
Yeah, please. This is like a Deadpool rated R situation.
Yeah. Do you think it was worth it being rated R?
Well, it was violent enough.
Yeah. Do you think it was worth being that violent? Do you think a PG-13 version of this film would have worked?
Nah. You know what? Yeah. It's funny. You know what? Here's the thing. I was one of those people who said, why did you have to have an R-rated Deadpool? And they're going, oh, see, when you really think about it, it doesn't quite work without him making all the, well, the sex jokes.
The dick jokes,
dropping the F-bombs all the time. That's what makes it work. And same with
Professor
this one.
X dropped a lot of F-bombs, I know.
That was pretty good.
But I think I could have watched 2.5 hours of just angry old, bitter Professor X screaming at annoyed Wolverine. That was the magic of this movie, I think, is that relationship. And
it also gave Patrick Stewart the most to do he's had in any X-Men film. It made me realize watching that film, I was like, oh yeah, every now and then on Star Trek, they would let him be this good.
Yeah.
They would give him something where he could really dig into it. They have never done that on X-Men before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think it needed to be rated R. I think this movie could work PG-13. I think Deadpool is had to be R. You couldn't recut that movie PG-13. There's just, like you said, the language alone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know there's a lot of F-bombs in the Logan movie, but I like Patrick Stewart swearing at Wolverine. I thought that was charming. I thought it was great.
I'm actually glad this was R, and it's not so much the fact that this movie couldn't be PG-13 as I realized watching this movie that we needed one rated R Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because the guy's been walking around for 17 years with knives for hands, and all he ever does is like dig them into a guy's vest.
Yeah.
And and there was a couple, I was watching Wolverine Origins on FX, and it was the scene where he runs out of Weapon X, and he is cleaner than he is in any of the flashback sequences.
Yeah.
His hair's perfect. There's no blood on him. And I was like, wait a minute. And then I watched X-Men 1 today. I'm like, well, he's a mess.
Yeah. They should have, like, rubbed him in dirt and thrown him down a hill before they filmed that scene, you know?
Yeah. It was about time that he, like, cut somebody's head off.
Yeah, it's
He chops a lot of pieces off of guys, and I kind of wanted to see that.
Yeah, I'm not a big gore fan, but I think one of the Wolverine movies needed to be rated R. Because, like you said, a guy running around with knives on his hands, it's like when they put him in the X-Men cartoon and all he ever did was, like, cut doors open.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or it's like every guy they fought was a robot because, what the fuck? This guy is murder machines on the end of his hands. It's like his whole job is to murder people.
Yeah, it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All they have are knives.
Yeah.
They never use any one of them.
Right.
You know what? I think since we just talked about the film, I think we'll just wrap it up here. I did really enjoy it. I it was perfect for a long time. And then but then when it ended, it was really good.
Yeah.
I was still kind of hoping for that perfect. I'm an X-Men fan where I was an X-Men fan very heavily in high school. And I never quite came back. It was like,
I think that's everybody. X-Men is the high school book. It's that and Spider-Man.
There's still people that's their favorite books to this day. But I just, you know, it was like Led Zeppelin. It was like I was super into it for a year. And now every time I hear it, I go, yeah, I remember when I was into this.
Yeah.
So, but I still have a love for it where I want to see it done really well. And I don't have a film I can point to that's perfect. Maybe X-Men 2 is the best one. This one had breaks so many rules of X-Men movies that I can't really judge it against those.
Yeah.
But in terms of just being a good movie, it's like it tried to get to Dark Knight level good. And I appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
How would you sum it up?
I think of it kind of like as an Elseworlds of X-Men movies, you know, or the last Wolverine story.
Yeah.
Something like that. You could say that. Was it entertaining? Very entertaining. Is it going to make a lot of money? Definitely going to make a lot of money. Will people now say, hey, maybe I'll watch the previous X-Men films now? Yes, but expect to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think it's a great ending to a rough road. You know, I think this was a good movie, but the way we got here, it's like, I don't know if the journey was worth it. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't close with anything but that. So you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. That's the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. Please follow our Facebook page. That's where we post all our videos and news items during the week, as well as announce every week when the new podcast is out. Elliot, how can we find you, your podcast, your social media, your cat?
Mike, at Elliot Serrano, 2 L's, 2 T's, 2 R's, both on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Facebook, but I've gone friends only on that one. The Trump age has made me decide to do
that.
Yeah,
it's pretty awful.
Well, what about Sinbad?
Sinbad the cat, yes. Just Google my viral sensation Sinbad, who the entire Brown family now wants to meet.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great cat. We've been following his adventures.
We're going to have a podcast at your house just to pet your cat.
Just to pet Sinbad. He'll be there.
And if you haven't heard the story... Elliot works at the Anti-Cruelty Society, and they brought in this cat that had 5 pounds of extra fur. And when they shaved him down, Elliot and Sinbad fell in love, and now it's probably the most rewarding relationship he's ever had. And
he's not exaggerating.
He just looks like the cutest, happiest guy in the world.
Yeah,
and he's got like what 8,000 followers.
That cat has more
11,000 followers on Instagram.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That cat is more famous than any one of us will ever be combined.
He's got fans from all over the world. It's awesome. I get messages from other countries. So there will be an Old Man Elliot movie coming soon, where me and my cat will be traveling. Awesome. Across the land, and
that's,
you know,
fantastic.
Do that.
You could find me at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!